You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Today, we get to continue our Set Apart to Serve conversation, and we're heading to Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Actually, they came to us today.
They came to us.
Which is fun. We get to talk with our friends from Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University, Nebraska. You can learn more about Concordia University, Nebraska by visiting cune.edu. Joining us today, the Reverend Dr. Thomas Egger. He's president of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Dr. Egger, welcome back to The Coffee Hour.
Great to be with you. Thanks for the invitation.
You bet. Looking forward to learning more about programs at Concordia Seminary and formation of church workers.
Absolutely.
Also joining us in studio, the Reverend Jesse Kuecker. He's director of enrollment for Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Pastor Kuecker, welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be with you both. This is my first time on KFUO.
Hey!
Well, welcome to The Coffee Hour. Welcome to KFUO. Do we have time to squeeze in?
We might.
A lightning round?
Oh, no.
You brought it up.
What did I walk myself into?
Sometimes first guests occasionally get a lightning round. Mm-hmm. It's really important stuff.
It is very important. Mm-hmm.
So speaking of, how long have you been at Concordia Seminary?
I've been back since 2022, so 3.5 years.
3.5 years in enrollment at Concordia Seminary.
Yep. I came as an admissions officer and then served as interim director of recruitment for a year. And as of August, now director of enrollment.
When you say came back,
yeah,
you mean you were a student there before, correct?
That's right. Yeah. Came and did my Master of Divinity in 2011 to 2015.
What do you love about what you get to do at Concordia Seminary?
I love serving our prospective students, coming alongside them, praying for them, encouraging them, just hearing them, and walking alongside and supporting them in every way that we can. That starts with a phone call, usually, or a Zoom call. That's when we meet first. But then we're there as they walk through the application process, schedule their visit to campus. We actually have visitors on our campus today. And all the way through their acceptance and matriculation and moving to campus, just being with them, serving them, caring for them.
Dr. Egger, how long have you been at Concordia Seminary?
Well, I also studied there in the 1990s. Then I served as a pastor from 2000 to 2005 in Northwest Iowa. And I've been back to the seminary on the faculty teaching Old Testament since 2005. So 20 years.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's a good long time. What do you love about your work at Concordia Seminary?
Well, I love to see the fruit of the gospel in people's lives, in my own life. I'm so grateful to have the forgiveness of sins and the promise of everlasting life in my Savior, Jesus. And I know how crucial that is in the world. There's no true and lasting hope apart from that. And Concordia Seminary, the seminaries of our church, play a really important role in bringing that gospel out into the world. And so I just love to have a hand in, I have a hand in all the things that go on in a small way at Concordia Seminary. So I'm involved with recruitment kinds of things, encouraging future church workers to think about that as a vocation. I'm involved in recruiting faculty. We want to recruit faculty for the seminary who are solid Orthodox Lutherans, but who also have ministry experience and can connect the details of theology, whatever their area of theological expertise is, with the ministry of the church and provide a very pastoral demeanor that we want our students to be shaped and modeled from. I'm involved with financial things at the seminary, securing its financial stability and future, involved in encouraging robust community life on campus. We think that the years that students spend living together on the campus are a really important part of their formation. And so I guess my role as president is to be a good ambassador for the seminary across our church, and then also within the seminary to set certain key priorities, things like campus community and hospitality, things like a focus on the Word of God and the Holy Scriptures in the work that we're doing in forming our students. Basic things, but sometimes the most basic and important things get overlooked in the mix, and they have to be articulated again and again and again.
You mentioned that you were a student here at Concordia Seminary back in the 90s for your formation to become a pastor. What did you love about your experience as a student that you still really value today and you want the students who are there now to experience?
Yeah. Well, when I look back at my time at the seminary, the faculty, the professors I had, I just loved. I loved to learn from them, and I loved what I was learning from them. So I treasured the opportunity to study deeply the scriptures and Lutheran doctrine, and I treasured the opportunity to hear from men who I knew were much smarter and wiser than me and had a breadth of experience, lots of diverse experiences in ministry throughout the church. And I loved my professors. And when students come and say, what's great about Concordia Seminary these days, I say, we have great professors. I mean, I think that's the heart of the work that's done there. And it's not to say our sister seminary in Fort Wayne, I'd say the same thing. They have great professors. And that's a real strength for our church that we've invested in and prioritized deep theological formation for ministry.
Jesse, what about you?
Well, I was just going to add, President Eger was my first professor at Concordia Seminary in 2011. He taught me Hebrew. So my very first class at St. Louis was learning Hebrew with, at that time, Dr. Eger. And one of my last classes at the seminary was with Dr. Eger, President Eger. I did an independent study under him on a theology of remembrance. And so we studied this one little Hebrew word, zikar, together for the whole semester. And what does it ultimately mean when God remembers and when Jesus institutes the supper? What does it mean when he says, this do in my remembrance? And just that time, it takes time to be immersed in the scriptures and receiving that word in the classroom, but also in the chapel every day. I mean, a seminarian receives like well over 600 sermons as part of their formation, just sitting in the chapel that many days and letting the word of God sink into us richly and deeply is so impactful. So I'm very thankful for the professors that I was able to sit at their feet for many years for my formation.
Now, both of you mentioned chapel. What are some of those key points of formation for the church work? We'll talk about church work programs in just a minute, but what are some of those key points of that church work formation that happen on the campus of the seminary?
Well, the classrooms themselves are crucial, and our classes are divided into four different areas, buckets. One, exegetical theology, which is the study of the sacred scriptures, Old and New Testament. We have systematic theology, which studies our Lutheran confessions and other Lutheran doctrinal writings. We have historical theology, which studies church history. And then practical theology, the practical skills of ministry, preaching, teaching, pastoral care and counseling, and so forth. And so those areas of formal study are very important. The interactions that take place outside of the classroom as we learn to live with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ and as future shepherds and servants of the church who oftentimes have strong opinions about things and personal idiosyncrasies and... And so it's an opportunity to challenge one another. It's an opportunity to frustrate one another and be frustrated at times, and to find a way in God's grace to live together, to love one another, to serve one another. We have at the seminary in the last 8 years or so instituted a weekly formation lab where our students are assigned in a group of about 15 other students. Every week throughout all 4 years of their program, they're meeting together for an hour, and they're assigned those colleagues. They aren't, they don't get to pick their affinity group. They're assigned the people that they're going to be with, and it really models the life of the church where the surrounding congregations, your surrounding pastors or other fellow church workers, they aren't always of your choosing, but you have an obligation to them to love and support and encourage them. And you have an opportunity to learn from them and to collaborate with them. And so we try to form that into students already during their time at the seminary, a commitment to those kinds of partnerships and bearing one another's burdens, learning from one another.
That's a fantastic idea. As a church worker, like having that experience to, you're right. When you go out to serve in a parish or in an organization or an institution, you don't necessarily, you're not necessarily choosing all your best buddies to work with.
Right. And then other formation, there's so many things are formative in life together on the campus, just the social things, the meals together, the celebratory events.
Flag football.
Intramural sports. Yeah. And but at chapel worship also that Jesse mentioned earlier, we think is really at the heart and center of things to instill in our students a sense of personal humility and need for the Word of God, a commitment to one another, to be there, to encourage one another, a sense of fraternity, and also to situate the learning that takes place on the campus in a spirit of doxology, praise to God, that we aren't learning all these theological concepts just to be smart or right, but so that we will know the God who made us and redeemed us and live to his praise.
We are learning about the programs at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. We're going to learn about specific churchwork programs that are available at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis in just a moment. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Are you looking to gain practical insights and spiritual encouragement in a format that fits your life? Discover the treasures of Christ-centered learning with Concordia University, Nebraska. Utilizing an online, self-paced learning platform, Concordia Nebraska's new Studia Vitae program will offer a non-credit continuing education courses featuring lifelong learning opportunities in a variety of focused areas. Courses begin in January 2026 and registration opens soon. Learn more at cune.edu/CEU. That's cune.edu/CEU.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We are in our Set Apart to Serve conversation today, talking with friends from Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, the Reverend Dr. Thomas Egger, president of Concordia Seminary, and the Reverend Jesse Kuecker. He's director of enrollment for Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, learning about what it's like to be a student at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. We've talked about the experience of formation on campus and what that looks like. A chapel is a really central focus of life together on campus. What are the programs available for church workers or for future church workers or church work formation, we might say, at Concordia Seminary?
Sure. We have several programs, but there's three different main areas that we try to serve in the church. One is pastoral formation. The seminary exists to form future pastors of the church so that the gospel might continue to be proclaimed. Diaconal studies and advanced studies. So we have various programs through all three of those, some residential, some online and hybrid as well. I want to throw out two stats. I'm a numbers guy and a data person, so I'll try to limit myself on numbers. But one thing I'd like to share is Concordia Seminary has 641 enrolled students, which actually makes us the largest Lutheran seminary across all Lutheran denominations in the United States. There's 15 Lutheran seminaries in the country, and the second largest one is Luther Seminary, which is a seminary of the ELCA. And they have about half the student body that we have. So we have quite a few students, and there are 278 seminaries in the United States across all denominations accredited by the Association of Theological Seminaries. And we're ranked in the top 10%. We're 24th in terms of total enrollment, which is really unique considering that our seminary largely serves primarily the parishioners in the church of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We don't open it up. For instance, our pastoral formation programs aren't opened up to a wide variety of denominations like other seminaries. So that makes us really unique. And the other thing that makes us unique is we're one of the only seminaries and our sister seminary in Fort Wayne where our residential programs are actually growing and increasing over the last few years, while other seminaries are moving more online and experiencing decline in overall enrollment. So we're definitely keeping an eye on the metrics and the data. I'm a numbers person. I managed a shoe store for 11 years, and I can't stop thinking about the numbers. But if someone's thinking about one of the programs, we have wonderful advanced studies programs, Doctor of Ministry, PhD, STM, MA, S&P to GPC. For those who are
so many letters,
A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
We have a lot of good advanced studies programs for pastors and those who want to further their skills in theology. Primarily, we seek to serve the church by raising up pastors for the church. And our Master of Divinity program is a phenomenal program. That's the program I went through. It's the full 4 years of taking time to step out of the busyness of life. You know, I think about the disciples in the boat and how busy life was. And here Jesus comes and says, drop your nets, follow me. And we read through that verse and we think, well, that's a nice story. But I talk with men on the phone today who are running multi-million dollar businesses and live in beautiful homes and have plenty of land, and they have their dream property. And the Lord says, drop your nets, follow me. And there's a dying to self that has to take place to pick up one's cross and to follow Christ. And I hear their stories and I see what these men and these families go through in order to take time to immerse themselves in the scriptures and to follow Jesus and to learn from him, not to serve themselves, but so that they might serve those around them that the Lord is preparing them to go and care for. It's an incredibly enriching thing. It's just a beautiful thing to be alongside them on that journey and hear their heart and pray for them and say, I've been there. I know it's hard, what beautiful faith. And so we really encourage those who are thinking about pastoral formation to drop their nets and to follow Christ. The word we hear over and over again in the scriptures from Jesus, go. We hear it first from the Lord to Abram, go to the land that I will show you. He says to Moses, go to Pharaoh. When Jesus is resurrected from the dead, he tells Mary, Martha, go to my disciples, and then my brothers. And then before he ascends, he gives us the great commission, go and make disciples of all nations. And that is a word he's still speaking through his church today. Go. It's time to go. And as soon as I hear that from the Lord, I think of all the reasons why I don't want to. I'm very comfortable here, or I don't know about that, or me. How could I go? Me? And yet the Lord continues by his grace to say, go. And so he speaks to the hearts of men and women. And for the women who are thinking about serving the church, we have wonderful diaconal programs as well at Concordia Seminary.
Residential and online.
That's right, both. Yeah. Sarah knows something about that.
I do. I am a student of Concordia Seminary in the online deaconess program. So this is my school. It's very exciting to talk to you guys today about this. Yeah.
Awesome.
What are some of the events that happen on campus for enrollment purposes, for prospective students, but also just for the congregation or the church at large?
Yeah, well, there are always events going on at the seminary, both internal community events and outreaching events. We have, for recruitment purposes, we have frequent visitors who just make appointments to come and have a visit at the seminary. And we're very accommodating with that. We love to have them come. We have organized visitation events for prospective students that encourage future church work that are called vocatio, the Latin word for calling or vocation. And that is for high school students in the summer. We have an event for students in grades 9 through 12 that takes place in the summer, and then a fall and a spring vocatio event for college and second career students as well each year. Those are well attended and a great opportunity to come take a look at the seminary, visit some classes, talk with others who are thinking about this, similar questions and possibilities in life. Then we have continuing education events that continue to provide theological learning opportunities and collaborative opportunities for church workers. We have a theological symposium each fall, 2-day theological symposium each fall, and a multi-ethnic symposium that explores issues in cross-cultural outreach and ethnic outreach that takes place in the spring each year. We also have a lot of continuing education opportunities where our professors travel across the country and have short-term workshops, especially in the summertime, called Prof Insights.
So just a few things going on.
A few things.
A little bit.
Going back to vocatio that you mentioned earlier, that's for students who are interested in what programs?
So that's for students who are interested in or at least willing to reflect on the possibility of serving as a deaconess or a pastor in the church.
Very good. So during the summer, they have the high school vocatio, and then in the fall and spring,
we have a vocatio visitation event for college and second career students.
Very good. So I know those are all listed on the csl.edu website, so point those out. You can find it there at csl.edu. A lot of fun. I know we've talked with folks who've been involved with vocatio and always had great stories to share. Why consider coming to Concordia Seminary in St. Louis? The person who's listening right now thinking about maybe becoming a pastor or a deaconess, why consider Concordia St. Louis?
Well, I'll let I'll let Jesse field that because this is his speech that he gives continually. But I'll just say, because the world needs to hear the gospel and people need the hope of Christ. And he brings that hope to people, not straight from the clouds usually, but through the mouth of another. And he brings about the comfort of the gospel, the forgiveness of sins, and the preaching of the gospel through pastors. He's been doing it since Jesus first sent out his 11 into the world. And for deaconesses to serve in that same with that same message of love and mercy, and to extend that both in word and deed, to extend the ministry of our congregations is also extremely valuable. And so I think people should think about it because it's so valuable and important. And the Lord uses ordinary people to do this work.
Yeah, and I would build upon that need. That's where I start, is what's the need? And the need is great. The need is centered in, I want to care for people's souls. If someone's thinking about coming to study at the seminary, they're thinking about soul care. And that's an eternally important work. It's serious work. And I just want to draw my personal experience just for a moment, if I can. My undergrad was at Southwest Baptist University. I was born and baptized Catholic, went to a Baptist school. Here I am, a Lutheran pastor. I'm a little bit of a hybrid. No, gladly Lutheran now. But when I was at Southwest Baptist University majoring in biblical studies, seminary recruiters from all over the country would come and they would meet with me. And they didn't know what to do with me because I was Lutheran. But they would impress upon me their main focus was usually on two things: how quickly we can get you to become a pastor and how cheaply we can do it. And they seemed to try to outdo one another in that. You know, one would say, come to our seminary and in 2 years, you'll be finished. And for $600 a credit hour, we'll get you wrapped up. And the next one would say, you can do it in a year and a half and for $500 a credit hour. And the next one would say, you can do it online in a mix and be done in 10 months and for $200 a credit hour. And that was usually the language I would encounter when talking with Baptist and non-denominational seminary representatives. But when I reached out to Concordia Seminary and our seminaries of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, I encountered a much different approach, that they take the work so seriously of preparing men for the pastoral office that we don't talk in terms of how quickly or how cheaply we can do this. We talk in terms of how important the work is and how well we want you to know the scriptures. So when I called the seminary, it was, well, do you know Greek? Do you know Hebrew? You need to learn these languages because this is the language of the scriptures. It's what the prophets and apostles actually wrote. And we want you to learn that so that, not for yourself, but so that you might serve those around you. And when I saw what the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod stood for, scripture, the confessions, that we want you to learn these things well, and we're not about taking shortcuts. We want you to be well prepared and grounded. There was something deeply appealing about that, because at the end of the day, if someone's thinking about pastoral ministry, you have to keep the telos in mind, the person that you will eventually, Lord willing, serve as their pastor and care for their soul. And as the writer to the Hebrews says, on the last day, you will give an account for how you cared for their soul. So that's the need. Well, they deserve someone who will take the time and prepare to serve them extremely well so that on that day we can stand centered in God's grace, knowing that we served their soul well. And so if someone's thinking about that, I would say, just come. Come and visit, pray, talk with your pastor, and go.
What are those first steps if someone is thinking about this now? What are those first steps to knowing more about attending?
Yeah, well, usually that first step is scary. I encounter right. that like quite a bit. And so, you know, start simple. If you haven't, talk with your pastor. Set up a time to talk with your pastor and get his encouragement. Let him know what's going on in your soul and let the caretaker of your soul do his work really well. Share God's word with you and then ultimately cling to that word. Don't look to yourself for assurance. There's no certainty in ourselves. And when we look to ourselves, we're instantly met with all the reasons why I can't do this and why I shouldn't do it and why me. We see that over and over again in the scriptures. Moses himself, me? No. I can't speak well. And yet the Lord continues to call. So meet with your pastor And then give us a call. I love talking with men about pastoral ministry and hearing from them. And whether it's just they're just starting to think about it and it's new, or it's something that's been in the back of their mind for years, give us a call and let's talk and let's pray together. Because it's dangerous to go alone. You need a community of people around you. And that's why we're here. It's just to come alongside and serve them.
Dr. Egger, how would you say Set Apart to Serve has influenced or shaped what happens at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis?
Yeah, well, it's certainly already a blessing to encourage for encouraging students to explore pastoral ministry. And the great thing about Set Apart to Serve is it's not a quick fix approach to encouraging future church workers. It is a cultural and long-term approach within our church body to encourage parents, congregations, congregation members, pastors, Lutheran school teachers, to be encouraging young people towards the ministry. So it's producing materials from kindergarten through high school, especially, that are focused on planting the seed of possibilities in students' hearts and minds towards church work. Our own efforts as a seminary, we don't tend to be visiting too many kindergartens for church worker recruitment. Our window is those who are a little closer to actual enrollment. So we're deeply appreciative of this long view approach, which is the most effective approach in the long run. And so we're very grateful. We have been involved. Our admissions folks and others at the seminary have been very involved in dialogue with the LCMS, with pastoral education at the Concordia University system. Dr. Jim Bonick has been doing a great job of heading up the Set Apart to Serve program. And we've been very willing collaborators in that, in helping to guide and give direction and language to help the church in this effort.
Yeah, it's been really great to talk to you guys about Concordia Seminary and all of the programs available, how people can reach out to you. We'll be sure to put links in the show notes for how people can reach out. Before we're done, we promised a lightning round, so we're going to do a lightning round.
Excellent.
And since you're both here, we're just going to ask both of you.
Okay.
You guys ready?
All right.
All right. Favorite color?
Blue.
Don't have a favorite color. I like them all. I know, it's terrible.
Wow.
It's
terrible.
Okay. Favorite cuisine?
It depends on the day, but I'm going to say Mexican.
Oh, man, I love all kinds of food, too. And I really like Mexican, but I'll say Indian for this interview because Indian food is delicious.
This is such a fascinating lightning round. Favorite book? The Bible doesn't count, because we all know that's your favorite. Or what you're reading right now. We'll accept that answer, too.
Our good question. Can't say the Lutheran Confessions, can I?
No.
President Egger is going to say all of them. I love all the books.
All of them.
All the books.
So
we stumped him.
I read so much nonfiction and theology stuff all through seminary ministry and then during my PhD program, which lasted forever, that I promised myself as soon as I was done with my PhD dissertation, I was going to read nothing but fiction for a while. And then I got elected seminary president. I have no time to read. But one of the first books that I read when I returned to fiction, and I have had a chance to read quite a bit of fiction in the last few years, but East of Eden by John Steinbeck is a pretty fascinating, kind of depressing ultimately, but also fascinating book about a view of life that ultimately arises without faith in Christ. And even though it's full of biblical allusions, it's kind of this protesting hopefulness that there's something yet in humanity that can help us is how the story basically flows and ends. And as you read it as a Christian, you think, oh, if only you knew the hope that we really do have.
Mm. Wow. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, well, I'm going to go with a book that I constantly read to my kids. It's
yes.
Not the Bible. I like Aesop's Fables. I read an Aesop fable to them most nights.
The next one's very serious. Office supply.
That's a very important question.
My team knows that I despise Post-its, so I'm not going to say Post-it notes. I will say my webcam. Does that work?
Sure. Yeah.
Because I'm on it all the time with prospective students.
That's an interesting answer.
Tablets of paper.
Not Post-its.
I love writing with a nice pen on tablets of paper.
Yeah, I can see that. Favorite dessert?
My wife's Trace Leche cake.
Ooh.
which I have packed for lunch today.
Nice. I love dessert. I'll just say sour cherry pie.
Ooh.
It's always good.
That sounds good.
That does sound good.
Favorite vacation destination, whether you've been there or not, or you dream of going there. Favorite vacation destination. These are hard ones, aren't they?
I'll say mountains. Ooh. Any mountains.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my wife and I are, we like to go to just state parks and hike. So anywhere where we can hike.
Okay. Very good. Don't hate us for this. Favorite hymn.
Thy strong word.
I feel like as Concordia Seminary, it's slightly required.
He's President. Just holding up the hymnal and he said all of them.
Of them. Yeah.
Except this one.
Oh, great.
That is my answer, actually. But.
All of them except this one?
Yeah, that's not true. I actually have a favorite hymn now.
I don't think I do have a favorite hymn.
All of them.
Yeah. As you can see, I have no strong opinions. I just like everything. Yeah.
All right. Last question. Favorite time of day?
Late at night.
Yeah. Oh, all right.
Same.
Late at night.
Same. Late at night.
Quiet of the night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
There you have it, lightning round.
All right.
We've learned so much about each other.
We're like, we're never doing that again.
Yeah, we'll have you back. It's fine.
The thing.
The Reverend Jesse Kuecker, Director of Enrollment, Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
And the Reverend Dr. Thomas Egger, President of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, thank you for being our guest.
Thank you. Thanks for what you guys do.
You can learn more about Set Apart to Serve by visiting lcms.org/SAS. You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.